Proverbs chapter 9. And I'm going to read the entire 9th chapter. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath filled her breasts. She hath mingled her wine. She has killed her beasts, I'm sorry. She hath mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. There, I want us to consider that there are two voices that are calling. The voice of wisdom and the voice of folly. And they're calling out for the souls of men to come in. One voice leads to life, and the other voice leads to destruction. I'm going to turn to the book of John, chapter 10, and read just a few verses. This is where Jesus is proclaiming himself to be the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter or the gatekeeper openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I'm going to stop reading there. Here John records the words of Jesus. And he speaks about two different people. One is the one who is a thief and a robber. And he said those that don't come in by the door of the sheep are thieves and robbers. But the one that comes in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There's different interpretations of this passage. I'm going to give you the one that I feel is right. I feel like what this is saying is that there's one that comes in by the door of prophecy. That there's one that was opened up to be the Messiah. And that there were a lot of people that were coming to claim that they were the Messiah of the people. And they came up a different way, not by the prophecy that God had given Maybe they had proclaimed that they were the Christ. And Jesus said that the one that goes in by the door is the shepherd, and he will call out to the sheep, and the sheep will know his voice. And it says that they will not hear the voice of strangers that they don't know. Now, anyone that raises cattle or has worked with livestock know that they might not know very many things, but they do know the voice of the one that calls out for them, and they'll follow one that they trust most of the time. Not always, but there is that picture there about the sheep following the voice of the shepherd. Now, obviously, this is an illustration about God's people knowing the voice of the one that God sent. And he said that there would be a lot of sheep here, I think, not necessarily by the way that they act, though you could make a case for God's people being like sheep, but because they've been regenerated, because they've been made new by the Holy Spirit, that they've been made to be a part of God's people. Because they are sheep by nature, they will know the voice of the shepherd. And that is something that we should consider this morning, that God's people know the voice of the Lord. And that when we hear his voice, that we ought to follow his voice and his call. One more verse, and I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4. Just a short reading. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Those are our scripture readings, and actually I'm going to spend some time in the 23rd Psalm this morning and talking about the voice of the shepherd. This has come to my heart this morning, and I've been pondering over the text that we read and just thinking about that the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. And it's easy to look out among the congregation even this morning and say, we have a lot going on as a church. And I don't mean necessarily the activities that we're doing at church, but no doubt that in the lives that we're living, there's a lot going on in our lives. And God is very interested, and so is the enemy, in our lives and the things that we're doing from day to day. Make no mistake, this morning we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. There, when you think about someone who's lost, who doesn't know the Lord, there's a great deal of effort that's going on behind the scenes, as it were, in places we can't see, to distract people from coming to the Lord. Even this morning, no doubt there is an attempt going on, not by a person, but by spiritual beings, to keep lost people from coming to know God as their Savior. And also a lot of effort to distract God's people from serving Him. It's as if there were two voices that were calling out, and we have to make a decision about which voice that we follow. Now, we're not crazy. We don't hear voices. It's not that we are listening and voices come from heaven every day and tell us which way to go. And I think these are metaphors. This is illustrations about voices calling and spirits leading, though I believe in literally in spirits and spiritual beings. But yet, when we think about the conflict that's going on, we don't really hear voices typically, but yet we're led nonetheless. And many of us have heard the voice of God lead us and direct us, yet we never heard anything audibly. But just as sure as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, we heard the voice of God. I don't think it's crazy for people to say that they heard or got direction from the Lord. I think we have to be careful with that. I don't think it's appropriate for us always to say that the Lord hath said. We've got to be very careful, because if we say that he has said something that he hasn't said, it's being a false prophet. And so many times I think that we need to be very careful to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. That's what was said there in 1 John. In that particular scripture, he was speaking about, agnosticism or antinomianism, and saying that there are people that are out there that are saying that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. That is a false teaching. Jesus came in the flesh. He was a man that lived among us and taught among us and lived and died and rose again. So John says, try the spirits to see whether they're of God. If someone comes saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh and did not live a perfect life and did not die an atoning death and did not resurrect, don't believe that voice. That's a voice of the Antichrist, of the enemy. That's a false teaching. But if someone comes proclaiming Christ, know that teaching is from God. And as God's people, we have to be discerning people, knowing the voice of the Lord and separating that from the voice of the enemy. It says one time in the Bible that the enemy would, if it were possible, deceive even the very elect. The elect just means chosen ones, or the people that are Christians. That if it were possible for him to deceive us, he would. Yeah. And he's trying to deceive us. Now, you get really practical about this. This kind of thing is happening all the time. We are fighting in battles, and we hear voices from inside of us that are not of God. Now, I don't believe that we as God's people can be possessed by demons, because we're already possessed by the Holy Spirit. But yet I do believe we can be influenced by evil voices and those that would call after us and distract us. And it's important for us to be very cunning when it comes to looking and seeing the things that are being spoken to us and the things that are even coming up from within our own hearts, to determine what voice is from God and what voice is from the enemy. In the book of Proverbs that we read, I want you to go back and read that. I'm not going to spend very much time on that, but there's actually several chapters in the book of Proverbs that talk about wisdom crying out. And of course, it's a metaphor. It's a picture of wisdom, God calling out for people to hear his voice and to come in and learn of her. Wisdom is personified being a woman, and you get the idea of a virtuous woman compared to basically a prostitute and saying, the virtuous woman is saying, come into me and I'll care for you and I'll teach you and make sure you have all the things that you need to be successful from God's perspective in life. And wisdom is a jewel. It's something that we should search after as God's people and continue to grow in the spirit of wisdom and learning. And the greatest, you know, the source of wisdom is God. And the Word of God is a choice treasure filled with wisdom from God. And if we're not growing in wisdom and learning from God, we're regressing. You don't stay neutral in the Christian faith if you're not learning and growing and seeking and searching after that treasure and mining out the wisdom from God, then you're regressing. We grow stagnant in our walk with the Lord and we forsake and neglect the wisdom and the voice of God and we become very complacent and at risk of accepting a voice that's not the Lord's voice as if it were His. I believe that's what's happening in the church today. Many Christian people are listening to the voices that are coming from the world. It's why you're seeing churches, you know, accept teachings that are unbiblical and are saying it's in the name of love that they're doing that, but yet they're not discerning because they're not mining out the wisdom that comes from heaven from the Word of God. I've heard a lot of preachers share concern about the health of the church and the next generation. We all are concerned about that. Concerned that will the next generation take on the man, you know, allow the mantle to be passed to them? Will the next generation take on the work of God? Will they be as committed as the previous generation? That's a concern. The hope for the church is that we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, and young people, I want to encourage you, learn to know the voice of the Lord. And then learn to take into your heart the Word of God and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do this, God will help you. I know a lot of times I look back at the days before and I said, I could never be as faithful as our forefathers were. It seemed like there's just so much trouble in the world. How can we ever get back to that place? We get there the same way they did. We apply ourselves to hearing from the Lord and growing in our relationship with Him. And yes, listening to His voice. And not listening to the voice of the stranger or the strange woman. Proverbs 9, as well as much of that book, also has a warning against following the voice of the folly or the woman that was sinful. It's an illustration. And it says the voice of folly is calling for men to come into her house. And it's saying, you know, stolen bread is sweet, or stolen waters is sweet. And said that they do not know that when they go into her house, that the inhabitants of that house, it leads to death. Leads to death and destruction. And there's a whole lot of voices calling out for our young people. And let's just be honest, for all of us, to accept things that are harmful to us and to go after teachings and philosophies and worldviews that end in destruction. But it does not have to be that you're taken by her. You can avoid folly. And the way that you avoid folly is you follow after the voice of the Good Shepherd. Now, some of the voices that are calling out, and I just wanted to maybe name some from Proverbs chapter 9. The voice of pleasure. And that voice is calling out saying, hey, if it makes you feel good, you should do it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you might die. Get all the experiences out of life that you can get here. Just fill yourself with pleasure and you'll be happy. That's a lie. That's a lie. People that give themselves a pleasure are not happy. It doesn't satisfy. It's bread that goes down like gravel. Because you always want the next thing. Pleasure actually does not bring pleasure. The Lord brings pleasure. And pleasure is a good thing. But if you seek after the thing itself, it's a delusion. You never get enough. And we are living in a pleasure-seeking generation that's always looking for the next thing that will make us happy. And it might for just a little while, but then it does not satisfy the longing of our soul. The voice of power. If only you had control, you would be fulfilled. Or the next position, that you would be fulfilled. That also is a delusion. For oftentimes, some of those that are most disenchanted with life are the most powerful. Because they feel very lonely. And they feel like that they could never get enough authority to satisfy their craving. The voice of prestige. If only I could be popular. If only people would like me. If only I had the approval of men or women or people, then I would be happy. But people that are always seeking the approval or popularity, it's never enough. And it leads to being willing to compromise everything that you are so that people will like you. And that voice is not the voice of God. That voice is the voice of a stranger. And it does not bring contentment. The voice of pride, which actually this is what encompasses all the things that I spoke about this morning, where it makes it about us. And this is very deceiving. Hey, you've tried to please others so long, you need to not be concerned about pleasing others. You should just please yourself and do whatever makes you feel good. That is a lie. And the reason why that's not good is because this world is not about us. This world does not revolve around us. So it's a lie for us to think that we're the center even of our universe because we were not created that way. We were not designed that way. And so if we listen to that voice that says, do whatever feels right to you, and you live your life that way, it will end up going down to hell, to death and destruction. Because pride kills. My friend, we were not created to be the center of any universe. We were created to know the one in whom the universe revolves around, the living God. We were made to know God and to enjoy Him and to serve Him. We were created for that purpose. And it's in that we find ourselves most fulfilled. This morning, if you don't know the Lord, I just want to tell you the greatest thing that could happen in your life is that you would surrender all that you are and come to know Jesus as your Savior. That's the greatest thing that could happen in your life. The day that you lay it all down, trust in God, trust in Him for your salvation, and receive the grace of God for the salvation of your soul. That's the greatest thing that could happen in your life. Because all those things that burden you down, all the heaviness, all the load that you're carrying, it all goes away. And He carries your burden. He becomes your rock. He becomes the center of everything. He becomes your good shepherd. It's the greatest thing. And even a Christian person can take back up a burden of trying to live according to our own flesh, according to our own mind. That's a burden. Lay it down. The greatest thing that we could ever do is listen to the voice of God in our life and follow after Him. And it's a daily task. You know, we've all listened to the wrong voice. We all have. And there's forgiveness. You know, if you've been kind of following the wrong mind, you know, you've found the discontentment and the emptiness that following after the things of this world brings. There's hope for you. You know what the hope is? That the voice is still calling. This voice, I think, that Jesus said, they'll hear my voice, or the voice that comes from wisdom, is the gospel. It's the gospel. And I believe the gospel is still going out. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The good news that God still loves you. The good news that God will receive you back. The good news that there's hope for a better life. The good news that whenever you lay it down, God will forgive you. The good news that there is a hope of life eternal. There's a lot of good news today. It's not found in the world. It's found in the Lord. And the church is the ambassador for God to give good news. I want you to know today, you may be struggling in your life, and you may be wondering if anybody cares about you, and I've got good news for you. God loves you so much that He gave up His Son for you, that He might receive you back into Himself. He desires nothing more than for you to come back to Him. There is hope for you. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed, you can come back to God if you'll listen to His voice. That's the good news. And that is the voice that calls out from the Scripture. A lot of people think the Bible is filled with condemnation and restrictions. And there is some messages of condemnation for those that reject Him. There are laws that restrict the human flesh and things that will destroy you. But ultimately, the Bible is a story about how that even though men have sinned and people have sinned, that God desires to have fellowship with man, and that He made the way through Jesus Christ for people to come back to Him, that He gave up the thing that was most dear to Him, that He might receive you back into Himself. The message of the Bible is a message of redemption. It's not a message that says, hey, just live however you want, God will accept you. However you are, just keep on living however you feel, and God loves you anyway. What an empty message. Why is that so empty? I want you to hear me. That is an empty gospel. And the reason why it's an empty gospel is because those very things that people get involved in that they want to keep hold of are the things that are destroying their life. And God says, I've got something better for you. Don't just keep on doing the things that you're doing that are bringing you the pain. Lay them down. And I have a better way for you. Old things can pass away. Behold, all things can become new. In Christ, sins can be forgiven. Your life can be restored. You can be a new creature. That's the good news. That's the voice that comes from heaven. You don't have to continue to live this way. You don't have to be empty forever. You don't have to go to condemnation. There is life for you. For every person that comes to God can find eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you lay it down, God will wash it whiter than snow, give you a new start. Your old life is forgiven. Gone. Maybe you've even gone so far as to identify yourself as a sinner. He said you can have a new identity in Christ. Amen. That's the good news. You don't have to continue to be what you've always been. That's the good news. The world thinks that when we say that we want people to be redeemed, recovered, changed, that that's a negative message. But any of us that have ever had that happen to us say, praise God for regeneration. Praise God that He didn't just make our sickness acceptable to Him. He didn't just do that. No, He said, you don't have to be dead anymore. You don't have to be sick anymore. I will heal you. I will make you new in Christ. I've got a way for your whole identity to change. That today you're a sinner, but you can go away a saint of God, born again, righteous, not by your own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Christ. That's the good news. And it is good news. And I preach it to you with all authority of the Word of God, that that's the message that comes from the Bible. That's it. Now, David, and I'm going to go pretty quickly through this, but David, he was talking about the Lord being a shepherd in Psalm 23. And I just noted some of the things, like how do we know that this is the voice of God versus the voice of the stranger? And we know, it's kind of like my son, he asked me when he was lost, he said, you know, how do you know that you've been saved? And I said, I know this isn't what you want me to say to you, but you will know. And I'm sure he went, geez, Dad, that's really helpful. But anybody that knows, knows the only way that you can know is to know. Because it's like they're, it's the same thing as a child of God. How do you know that was God versus your flesh? Well, deep down, you know. You might try to convince other people about what God is saying, but deep down, you know. But what are some of the things that are associated with following after the voice of the shepherd? That's what Psalm 23 kind of tells us. I'm just going to briefly just walk through some of these. Hey, the voice of Jesus, the voice of the shepherd, leads us to God. Leads us to God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, if you're following after the voice of the shepherd, you have a God and it's not you. You surrender to the lordship of Jesus. And you say, my life is not my own. I was bought with a price. And He is my Lord. People that say they're following God and they refuse to follow the Lord are lying. Because the voice of the shepherd leads to His lordship. We've got to surrender to His leadership, to His direction, to following His commands. And if we won't do that, we're not following the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd leads us to satisfaction and contentment. I shall not want. When we're following the Lord's ways, it doesn't mean that we don't have any problems, but we're satisfied and content with where we are. If you're always seeking after the next thing to make you happy, you're not following the voice of the shepherd. Because when you follow the Lord, He will make you content. Amen? Amen. People didn't want to hear that, did they? When you're following the Lord, you're not always grasping for the next thing to make you happy. You find your happiness in Him. In Him. I'm satisfied. People ask me sometimes, I say, everything going good? What do they want me to say? You bet everything's going good. Is everything going good? No. And usually I say something along the lines of, on the level, on the whole, things are going good. But is everything going good? You're not living if everything's going good. Because we live in a world that's filled with trouble. Am I happy? You bet I'm happy. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do I have everything that I need? I do. I do. I have everything. Because you realize that He gives you everything that you need. And if you needed it, you would have it. If you don't have it, it's probably either because it's not good for you or He just hasn't given it to you yet. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of the marks of following the voice of the shepherd is contentment. Is contentment. The Lord of the voice of the shepherd leads us to peace. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When you're following the Lord, it leads to peace. A lot of trouble inside, conflict, anger. You're not listening to the voice of the shepherd. For if you listen to the voice of the shepherd, peace comes. Is trouble still there? You bet it is. But listening to the voice of the shepherd brings peace. And we know that when we got saved. Trouble. Conflict. Lashing out. Frustrated. The Lord came in. He settled that, didn't he? Peace. It's no different for the child of God. Churning. He says, peace be still. And the waters subside. The voice of the shepherd leads us to righteousness. Righteousness. In other words, right living. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hey, if we're involved in activity that we know is against God's will, that's not the voice of the shepherd. It doesn't matter how much you say, God's okay with it. If you're living in such a way that's against the laws of God, against the things that God has approved, it's not the voice of the shepherd, it's the voice of the stranger. I'm going to get real here. Sometimes we convince ourselves that doing the wrong thing is God's will. God never leads you to sin. God never leads you to sin. And people will call out some situation in their life and it's sinful. And you don't need somebody outside of you to tell you it's sinful. You know it in your own heart. And you're trying to convince yourself that that's okay with God. It is not the voice of the shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you're following God, he'll lead you to right living. He'll lead you to do what you know is right. You know, one of the surest ways to be unsettled in your life is to go against your conscience. We should resist to death going against our conscience. When you know something is right, do it. When you know something is wrong, forsake it. But don't know something is wrong and then do it anyway. That is the surest way to bring unhappiness and discontentment and brokenness in your life. See, following the voice of the shepherd, he'll lead us in the right path. Now, there are times where we don't know what's right. And you might think I'm silly to say that, but you know, sometimes I call it going between two good things. We don't know which one is right. They both seem okay. Well, that's when we've got to pray about it. Confess to the Lord that we want to do what's right. That if you'll lead us in paths of righteousness, we'll follow. We don't know which way to go, but if I knew it, I'd do it. You see, if we listen to the voice of the shepherd, it leads us to righteousness. It leads us to courage. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When we follow the voice of the shepherd, fear goes away. Now, if you're ever afraid, I think that's pretty normal. There's a song that Casting Crowns sings. It's called The Voice of Truth. And I love that song. I'm not going to say the lyrics I was going to, but go listen to that song. He's talking about when Peter was getting out of the boat and he said, the waves are calling out my name and they're laughing at me. So I did say the lyrics. But he says, another voice says, do not be afraid. And David, the giant, is calling out my name and he's laughing at me. But there's another voice that says, do not be afraid. Have you ever felt like, see, that's another metaphor. The waves are laughing at you. Telling you and reminding you of all the times you tried before and failed. Why even try? All I do is make a mess of it. That's not the voice of God, by the way. That voice that beats you up and tells you just to give up and quit, that is not the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd says, do not be afraid. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your rod comforts me. Your staff comforts me. He'll be your protector, is what David. I've learned that even though I have reason to be afraid, if I'll follow his voice, I don't have to be afraid because he is strong. There's a lot of things that are too big for us. A lot of things that are not in our control. In fact, control is an illusion. People will say, well, I only want to be involved if I'm in control. My friend, you're not in control of anything. Tomorrow, you could take your last breath. Tomorrow, you could lose everything you have. Like a bird, wealth takes wings and flies away. You think you're in control of things? We're not in control of anything. But that shouldn't scare us because we're following the voice of the one who's in control of everything. Of everything.
Amen.
One of the verses that comes to my mind right now is about how that it says the king's heart is held in the hand of God. And he can move it like waters however he wants to. Now I look at the situation right now going on in the Middle East and I'm like, what a mess. And I'm even a little scared sometimes when I think about what does that mean. But then we follow the voice of the shepherd that says, do not be afraid. I have this in my hands. And that doesn't mean everything's going to go well with it. It just means that we trust in the one who has it under control. What a wonderful thing it is to follow the voice of the shepherd. No fear. No fear. Now, a little asterisk. That doesn't mean you'll never be afraid. It means then when you're afraid and you follow the voice of the shepherd, the fear goes away. My friend, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you, he dwells in me, and he speaks to us. And sometimes that still small voice, that whisper, it's a voice, that whisper is exactly what we need to keep us going down the path. And as a believer, what a wonderful comfort it is to have the Holy Spirit. The shepherd's voice leads us to love and to being loved. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. There's a voice that calls out and says, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. God is angry with you. God has rejected you. And I want you to know that's not the shepherd's voice. The shepherd's voice says, I'll prepare a table before you. In the presence of your enemies, I'll anoint your head with oil. I'll care for you. I'll make sure that you have all the things that you need. My friend, on the authority of the Word of God, you as a sheep, as a child of God, are loved by the shepherd. Doesn't mean he loves everything we do. Doesn't mean he's always pleased with us. Just like a father or a mother with their children, not everything goes the way that we think it should. But we love them. Why? Because they're our children. And my friend, he loves you because you're his child. And that is the voice of the shepherd. So sometimes you say, I should just throw in the towel and quit. That's not the voice of the shepherd. But the voice of the shepherd says, come unto me, you that are weak and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The voice of the shepherd leads us to blessing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The blessed way to live is to follow the voice of the shepherd. And that doesn't mean, again, everything's going to be good. But my friend, when you follow his voice and you discern which one is his voice and you follow him, he leads you into blessing and not into curse. when we lay our head down, what do we really all want? We all really want to know that our lives have been blessed by the Lord, that His favor rested upon our life. Now, when you're an unbeliever, you don't have the favor of God, but we receive the favor of God by the unearned, unmerited gift that comes through Jesus. And lastly, the voice of the shepherd leads us to heaven. And this is probably the best thing of it all, because, you know, as the shepherd is leading the sheep through the various things, there's trouble on every hand. But look at how Psalm 23 ends. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, some of us have been in the presence of the Lord in such a way that we thought, unlike Lawson, "I never want to leave. I never want to leave. I just want to stay right here. I just want to be in the presence of God. I just want to dwell where His Spirit dwells." We've been there before. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I do know this: it's going to be with Him forever. If you follow the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the stranger leads to hell. The voice of the shepherd leads to heaven. Amen. As we close this morning, I just want to encourage us to distinguish which voice we're following, and to encourage us, wherever you stand with the Lord, follow that still small voice of the shepherd. He will always lead you to life and to righteousness and to blessing and to heaven. And as God's people, that's the hope for today and the hope for a brighter future, is following Him. And if we'll follow Him, our lives truly will be blessed. God bless you. Why don't we have a song, Sister Allie, as we stand and sing. We just encourage everyone to follow the Spirit of the Lord. If God's leading you in some way, maybe He's directing your heart in some way, that's His voice. I'd encourage you to follow Him and do as He bids.